You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Let me ask you a question. Has anyone here ever had a good idea? Come on, let's see some hands. Does anyone have a good idea? Okay, let me rephrase the question. Has anybody ever had what you thought was a good idea at the time? Well, a few weeks ago, I purchased a bike, a second-hand bike for my youngest son, and it was a BMX bike. It was a Mongoose, and we had to do a couple of things to it in the garage, so I got in the garage and I was working with him on it just to tidy it up and get it ready for him to ride, and he said to me, "Dad, is it ready to go?" And I said, "Nearly, son. I've just got to test it out for you. But after I test it out, you can have a go. So, son, first things first, I need you to go and get your shoes on and a helmet. Because you don't ride a bike without a helmet, do you, son?" "No, Dad, you don't." "And while you're doing that, son, I'll go and test it out." So I got on the bike without my helmet. And my memory went back to all those years ago when I was a BMX bandit. And I never had a Mongoose, so I thought, here's my chance to shine. Here's my opportunity to take the plunge. And so I got on the bike and I thought, I'll just take it for a quick ride up the street and turn around. And as I crossed my road, I saw a gutter in front of me, and it was a really high gutter. It was one of those gutters that was about that high. And so I looked at the gutter, and the gutter looked at me. And you know when you have this element of doubt that's in your mind about an idea you have that could be a good idea but may not be? Well, I thought, I'm going to take this gutter. And so I charged up to the gutter and I thought, I'm going to do one of these big BMX jumps that, you know, you always see in the BMX parks and everything. And so I took this gutter on. It was huge. It was a huge gutter. And I flew over this gutter and the bike started to go sideways and upside down and round the corner. And before I knew it, I was on the ground and the gutter had won the battle. And I'd grazed my arm and I was in awful pain. But the first thought that came into my mind was, where's my son? I hope he's not watching. And I looked around to see if there's any open windows or anyone walking their dogs down the street. And I quickly got up and I was in awful pain. And then I hear Lucas go, "Is the bike ready, Dad?" I said, "Yeah, mate, it's ready, ready to go. Make sure you wear your helmet." And so... Since that time, I've had a bit of a sore elbow, and that's been a number of weeks. And sometimes we have these good ideas that we think they were a good idea at the time, and the outworking of those ideas isn't always great. Now, I hope I get the pain out of this elbow, but I've been trying to work out where it's come from, but I think I've worked it out. So today I want to talk to you from the book of Genesis. And if you've got your Bibles or your note or your phones or whatever you've got, you can follow with me. Some of the scriptures are going to be on the screen. This one won't be. Today I want to talk to you about a good idea or a God idea. Genesis 16, verses 1 to 5. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Hagar then gives birth to Ishmael. This is the story of Abraham and Sarai and Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac. If I could just give you a little background to this, you would have heard of the covenants and the promises that God gave to Abraham. In Genesis 12, which is four chapters earlier, approximately 10 years before this scripture I've just read, Abraham was 75 years old. And God had called him out of Haran, and God had told him he would make him a great nation and give him a great name and would bless him. In Genesis 15, God spoke to Abraham again when he was about 80 years old, so 5 years later. This is what it says. "Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great.' But Abraham replied, 'O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir.' Then the Lord said to him, 'No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir.' Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.'" And in verse 6 it says, "And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." Good ideas versus God ideas. Sarai had a good idea. Abraham and Sarai had a good idea. But what was the outworking? I want to just talk briefly, give you four things just about this story. And the first thing is, God's promises, God's ideas, aren't adjusted because of our impatience. He is about character building. Genesis 16, if we can have that first scripture up. Verse 1 and 2 says, "Abraham's wife had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. There's the idea. Sarai has doubts about God and his timing. This has been 10 years since the original promise. Has anybody ever had a promise from God and had doubts about his timing? While Sarah has doubts about God's timing and God's ability to finish the job. So as I've spoken the last couple of times this year, and I haven't got it, I was looking for it in the car this morning. Sarah, at that point, she pulls out her do-it-yourself apron. If you remember, I've worn the Bunnings apron up here a couple of times. I haven't got it today. But at that point, Sarah says, "No, I'm not sure about your way, God. I think my way is a lot better and a lot smarter and will get the job done a lot quicker." So Sarah puts her apron on and she goes to work. Needless to say, she hasn't done the years of training that a tradie has done with the apron and she creates a bit of an issue for herself. Has anyone here ever had tried to help God get the job done? You know, there's times in our lives where we think, it's time for me to help God because he's just not getting the job done. Well, this is where Sarah was at. She tried to help God get the job done. You know, it's hard enough to wait in line at the supermarket or for tickets, lining up for tickets. It's hard enough to wait in line to pass a car. I went to Wagga a couple of days ago, and there was a couple of times where I was a little frustrated because cars were taking too long to pass the next car, and my wife was calming me down and just saying, you need to relax and take it easy. We'll get there. Well, you got to wait for someone to have a turn in a game. I don't know whether you've ever played. I was playing Monopoly with my kids last night. I mean, this message should be for me. We had a bit of a TV show on in the background, and we're playing this game, and they're watching the TV show, and I'm tapping on the table and going, come on, have your turn, or we'll stop playing the game. And so it's hard enough to be patient anyway. But, you know, you could always ask God to be patient or ask God to help you with that. But be careful about asking God to help you with waiting for him to get the job done. Because if you really mean it, he might just help you to grow character. He might just help you to be more patient. He might just help you in that process if you ask him. But in the long run, that could be a good thing. I'm sure there are people here who believe they've heard from God about something and they've let it go. They're disheartened or frustrated because it's just not happening. Romans 8:25 says this, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Okay, let me read that again. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. God's promises aren't adjusted because of our impatience. Just want to read something out of a commentary that I read that was fantastic. In every relation and situation in life, there is some cross for us to bear. Much of the exercise of faith consists of patiently submitting, in waiting the Lord's time, or waiting for the Lord's time, and using only those measures which he appoints for the removal of the cross. Foul temptations may have their fair pretenses and be coloured with that which is very plausible. Fleshly wisdom puts us out of God's way. This would not be the case if we would ask counsel of God by his word and by prayer before we attempt that which is doubtful. I just love that commentary. Go to God first. Okay, so the second thing we see from this story is look for the subtle difference in God's ideas, his pattern, because often they are subtle. And I love the way the Bible, the Old Testament, gives us pictures to explain the New Testament. Here's this. Genesis 16:3 says, so Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years. Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. The Old Testament just gives a great picture here. Hagar gives us a picture of the world, the Egyptian slave. She is the picture of the world. Abraham and Sarai partnered with the world to get the job done. An ancient custom illustrated in old Syrian marriage contracts to ensure the birth of a male heir. What they did wasn't an undone custom. It was a custom that was done. So it was fairly normal in terms of what the society said. But was it God's idea? It was a good idea, but was it God's idea? Now, I just want to read Romans 12:1-2. Just hold the scripture for a sec, Jono. I'm going to read Romans 12:1 and then I'm going to put Romans 12:2 on the screen. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Now listen to this. Put this up on the screen if we can. We've got it. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, and here it is, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. Fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In essence, God's idea, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Are your ideas fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs? In other words, are your ideas fashioned after what the world says? In short, do you fashion your ideas from the customs of the world, or do you fashion your ideas from what God says? Do you say it's okay because someone else does it or the world does it? Or do you actually find out what God says about, here's a couple of examples. One which Graham's talked about this year from Proverbs, disciplining children. Do we do it God's way? Or do we do it the way the world says it should be done? In resolving conflict, do you do it God's way? Do you go to your brother and not gossip about him when there's conflict? Do you talk behind people's backs about how bad they've been? Or do you actually do what God says? God says to go to your brother, to him first. Do you do that? And there's other steps to it. Or do you do it another way, which is the pattern of the world? In your priorities, do you build a nest egg? Now, there's no problems with building a nest egg. Let me tell you that. Let me put it this way. Is building a nest egg more important to you than the things God suggests are important? Like loving one another. We know what Corinthians says about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Or is the other stuff more important? Does that get in the way of building your nest egg? Or do you let your nest egg get in the way of loving one another? Spending time with family. Spending time to understand the things of God. Like Pastor Oxley said last week, when people say they haven't got enough time to read the Bible, no, we've all got the same amount of time. We decide whether we have got the time and prioritise on that. There's some priorities. Do we follow God's way in social rights? What do I mean by social rights? Things like alcohol, things like Facebook. There's lots of different social rights that we say, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. The Bible doesn't say we can't drink, so then I'll do that. But what does the Bible actually say? 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 31. You got that one, Jono? I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good. Now, I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. That's God's way. See, when you look at the outworking of Ishmael and Isaac, if you want to simplify it, Ishmael was born out of rational thinking. Isaac was born out of God's promise in a spiritual way. So do you want to live out of the rational or out of the spiritual? Do you want to conform to the pattern of this world, or do you want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The third thing we see about this story is beware of the blame game when your good ideas don't quite go to plan. Genesis 16 verse 5 says this, "Then Sarai said to Abraham, 'You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me.'" Some versions say, "Look what you have done to me, Abraham." And I'm sure that there's some husbands in here who have children, and when their wife was giving birth, right at that moment, they got the fingernails in the arm and the comment, "Look what you've done to me. You did this to me." How often do we push for our good ideas? How often do we push for our good ideas? And when they don't work out, we look for someone to blame. I've done it. About 6 or 7 years ago, we tried to sell our house. And it was an interesting process. There was an element of doubt in my mind that the timing of selling our house wasn't right. And so we went through a bit of a process. We got two agents around. And we got the agent that had sold our previous house, and he did a fantastic job with our previous house. He sold it and set us up with a new house, and it was brilliant. And it came to selling the next one, and there was it was my idea, not my wife's. I take full responsibility. It was my idea, and we thought, well, let's sell this house. And it was me pushing something that I probably shouldn't have been pushing, but we went through the process, and there was these doubts going along, and right from the beginning, from the word go, we'd asked the owner of the business to look after our house. And the two agents came and sat in our house, and we asked the question, "How come you're looking after it when we'd asked you to?" And he said, "Well, I'm too busy to look after it, so I need to get him to look after it." We weren't happy about it, but we continued on. And I can't tell you the amount of things that went wrong in 2 weeks for selling a house. Everything went wrong. We'd been promised that there was 20 or 30 people that were on the books that were going to go through our house. And, you know, there was heaps of people there that were really going to get in and buy the house. I think in 2 weeks we had 4 people go through our house, and it was a good market. Everything said that it was all going to work out. And in the end, it didn't work out, and we were really disappointed with the experience that we'd had from the time before. Now, if I'd listened to God and gone with the doubts that he put in my mind not to go through with it, we wouldn't have had to put up with this. But I needed someone to blame, didn't I? So we went into the office of the agent, and we sat down and we went through the list of things that went wrong, and we said, you know, what about this and this and this and this and this? And they gave us a little discount, but we still had to pay the price. But you know what? If I'd listened about the timing, we wouldn't have had to go through any of that. It was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. When we blame others, we're more likely to repeat the same mistakes. But when we own our issues, we learn how to deal with them better the next time. Okay, the fourth thing, the last thing. God maintains his promise, even though we come up with our own good ideas. Let's go back a step. I explained at the start with Genesis 12, before Ishmael came along, Abraham was given a promise that he would be a great nation, he'd have a great name, and God would bless him. Genesis 15, in verse 4, it says, then the word came, I read this before, the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be, as many as the stars. And then verse 6, he says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now it says there that he believed the Lord, but they still found a way to find a good idea and bring Ishmael into the world. And so he went through with that. But then after that, in chapter 17, this is after Ishmael came into the world, God says this in chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me. We heard a great message on that last week. Walk and live habitually before me. And be perfect, blameless, wholehearted and complete. And chapter 2 says, and I will make my covenant, my solemn pledge, between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And it goes on and there's a bit more in the covenant. But there's the promise. So the first two, chapter 12, chapter 15, they have their good idea. God does not drop his promise. He still goes through with what he said. Even after it. Abraham laughs to himself about Isaac being born with him at 100 and Sarah at 90. And in some ways, that's pretty reasonable to laugh. But God still fulfills his promise. God's idea. Even though there's other ideas in between, God still fulfills his promise. At this point, God doesn't remind Abraham about his good idea. He doesn't remind him, oh, look at the bad you've done. He actually reminds him of his promise, his life ahead and his righteousness. And you know what? God does the same for each and every person sitting here. If you are in Christ, God reminds you of his promise. He doesn't tell you about the bad ideas. He reminds you of his promise. Some of us have had good ideas, maybe bad ideas, that just haven't worked out and are still seeing, and you are still seeing the outworking of those good or bad ideas today. And out of a broken heart, disappointment, or even pride or stubbornness, your eyes are blinded to the promise, God's ideas, and or the possibilities of the future. Remember, Ishmael came out of rational thought. Isaac came out of spiritual, God's promise thought. Romans 4, 13 to 14. Clearly God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary and the promise is pointless. Our actions The good or God ideas that we have often come from our belief system or who we believe we are. This author, Timothy Jennings, wrote this: although we have power over what we believe holds real power over us. Let me say that again. Although we have power over what we believe holds real power over us. In chapter 17, God changed Abraham's name to Abraham and reminded him of what he had promised. In chapter 12 and 15, we have a new name when we came into Christ. We have come from the old Adam into the new Adam, which is Christ. So when you have good ideas that don't work out, God is reminding you not about the bad ideas, but he's reminding you about your name, your new name, your new name. He reminded Abraham about his new name. He kept reminding him of who he was in Christ. When you make mistakes, when you have bad ideas, if they are on your mind from things that have happened in the past, that is not who you are. God has a new promise and new ideas for you. It's time to believe the name that God has given you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Galatians 2, 20 and 21 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, I believe, in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Know this and keep reminding yourself and let God remind you of who you are, which is in Christ. You are a new creation. You have a new name. Let God renew your mind each day. And then the pattern of this world will pass away because you will begin to live out of who you are, not out of what you've done. Philippians 1:6, if we can have the worship team up here, please. Being confident of this, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Believe what he says about you. And then you will, as Romans 12, more and more each day, be able to test and approve what God's will is. You will understand God's ideas. A God idea versus a good idea. If we can sing in Christ alone. Christ alone. Today, guys, there are some people in here who've had some good ideas or even bad ideas. And you know what? Maybe you are living out of not who your name is, your new name is. But you have a new name. You are now in Christ. The old has gone and the new has come. Lay that down. There may be still out working. Ishmael didn't disappear. And there were some negative connotations with that. But you know what? God's ideas and his way and his promises don't change because we make mistakes. So get back into God's ideas. Let the good ideas go. Understand about the pattern of this world and let him renew your mind daily. Let him remind you of who you are in Christ. And today, if you've had some negative ideas or negative situations that have outworked, give them to God. Give them to Him. Let Him take care of them. There may still be things that you need to deal with on that front, but give them to Him. Let Him take care of them. And look for what His ideas are. And so today I want to finish with this song, In Christ Alone. Let's live God's way. We can only do that if we understand who we are. You need to find out who you are. And as Pastor Oxley said this week, you'll find it out. Get into His Word. Spend time in prayer, not because you have to, not because it's a law, but out of relationship do it. And hand those things. If you've got things that God's promised and they haven't come through, hand them to God. Let Him work it out. Don't grab the DIY jacket and start doing it yourself. Let Him take care of it. Father, we just thank You for Your Word today. We just thank You for the life-changing Word it is. And I pray today for those people, firstly, who are waiting for Your promise to come through. I pray that You would give them all they need to see that come through. I pray for those who have had some good ideas and disappointments. I pray that they would know that You haven't left them aside, that You are just reminding them of who they are in Christ, and that You're still with them, walking with them every day. And I also pray for those who don't know who they are in Christ today. And I pray that they would find out who they are in Christ. And we just praise You for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.